A quarter.
Oh no.
I know, this is always the worst part for all of us. We all get here a few minutes.
Now 6 o'clock. All right. I'd like to call this meeting to order of Economic Development, Tourism, Housing, Planning, and Transit for our March 5th meeting, 2019 at 6 p.m. Mary, would you call roll?
Legislator Archer?
Here.
Legislator DeLon?
Here.
Legislator Mayo?
Here.
Legislator Maloney James?
Here.
Legislator Maloney Joseph?
Here.
Legislator Waltman?
Here.
Chairman Rodriguez?
Present. All right, you all would have been emailed meeting minutes for February 5th. Are there any additions, deletions, Mr. Maloney?
Chairman, I had texted you, I believe, while you were headed down south. Is there any possibility of moving the last resolution up to the top of the agenda to show Rob under a little time? That's okay. It cannot be done.
I can allow that, but let me get through the meeting minutes just real quick.
Absolutely.
If you actually want to make a motion at this time, Mr. Maloney.
Do I need a motion?
Well, somebody should move the minutes, I suppose.
So
Mr. Waltman, thank you.
Second.
Is there a second?
Yes.
Mr. Maloney, James. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. All right. Facilitate Mr. Maloney, I will, at this time, we'll move Resolution 122. That will be in the back. If any of you have paper copies, back for your packet. Otherwise, we should all have it there. The resolution is supporting the application to develop and operate a 100 hotel, a room hotel at 1581 Ulster Avenue, Lake Katrine. Resolution 122. Mr. Maloney, why don't Mr. Maloney James?
Yes,
why don't you?
Yes,
okay, and why don't you walk us through it?
What if everyone knows that? Excuse me, that address area. You have a medical building. You have an office building. Several officers, there's going to be a restaurant going in, you have a Tractor Supply, you have a Smoothie King, you have a closed burger place. This is the second to last of an overall master plan, okay, and there was already been approved by the town of Ulster, a hotel on that parcel. All of the infrastructure is in place, just to pad the 2 acres is to have the hotel place there. We have a developer. He is before our planning board. The town board will be at their next meeting. We'll be passing a similar resolution. Mr. Quigley, if he was here, I know he's asked the school district just so that the IDA takes a look at it. Mr. The gentleman who's developing has talked to Randall and Mr. Jones, but it needs a review by the entire IDA board. So if we can just, you know, it's a memorializing resolution. There will be accompanying resolutions from the other taxing entities.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the resolution?
Do we usually put a resolution in? I'm a little confused why this is before us. I've never seen us put a resolution in.
You mean for a project in front of the IDA?
For a project in front of the IDA.
Oh, no, there have been.
Have there?
Sure.
Which ones? Please remind me. I'm sorry.
Is it
many, many years, but there have been. Usually, typically, they've already gone through the IDA, have a deviated pilot.
That's when we...
No, but a memorializing resolution is what she's asking, though.
What we need is the IDA to take a fair look at this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm loath to disagree, but I don't remember there being very many... the only one I can even remotely think of was Park Point, and that was pretty unique in of itself in terms of an actual memorializing resolution about a project currently in front of the IDA. And the Park Point resolution, I think, was for the IDA to take the concerns of the town into their considerations, if I recollect. But that was 2011 or 12.
So are you implying that the IDA is refusing to take a look at it? I'm just trying to understand.
No, I'm not implying that at all, but I think it needs to get a clear look by the entire board, and as a taxing entity, one of the smaller taxing entities, with the school district and the town, you're really covering almost 90 cents of the tax dollar, and they want to support this. This is a good project. It's a 100-room Hilton Hotel. There's only one other pad, and it's going to be a small, you know, restaurant.
Do you know what the vacancy rates are in this area? We've got three hotels there already, correct?
I think I know the one up on the hill does very well, the extended stay. I do get reports from Smith Travel. Mm-hmm. They're up, in, depending on the season, anywhere from 60 to 85%.
Mr. Maloney, Jeff?
This is something that the town wants?
Yes.
You've talked to the supervisor about this?
Absolutely.
You think that's appropriate?
Excuse me?
You're given a $70,000 a year job. You're appointed. There's been issues about that, and now you're here as a legislator pushing something that the supervisor and you have spoke about, the supervisor that controls your appointment. You think that's ethical and appropriate?
With the legislator, I don't see the conflict.
Does anyone else have a possible issue with that? I do. I have another issue. That's that I think we're doing a memorializing resolution and asking the IDA to do something that's more or less illegal. I don't see in the bylaws set forth by the state. State sets the floor on what our IDA is allowed to do. Then we build upon it with our bylaws. I have it printed out here. Where in Section 854 do you see, now this is a standalone hotel?
Yes.
Where do you even see it legal to give a standalone hotel IDA public beneficiary monies?
IDAs across the state have given IDA monies to hotels.
Standalone hotel?
Yes.
I think it'd be illegal.
Huh. I think
I'll read some of the wording here. The key wording is there too many inches may deem necessary, useful, observer in connection with, and what they're talking about is a recreational facility which they define. And the way I read it, and many other people I've talked to, is unless those rooms are in connection to a larger facility, or some kind of rec facility,
or a tourist destination, like meaning, like yeah, you have to have like a some sort of
that it's connect that it's yeah. a part of that project, not just down the road from, but actually a part of that project. So I'm very uncomfortable for two reasons: one, with who's putting it forth, and two, for the reason that I think we'd be actually doing a memorializing resolution asking our IDA to do something that's literally illegal.
Well, I respectfully disagree with the legislator.
Did you want to speak, Mr. Maloney?
I think I've spoken.
Okay.
I put it on the table. This is
okay. What's this?
Been an approved master development plan for, it's got to be Dennis. When did, I just asked you a question, when did Kirchhoff get the entire,
it's like
four or five years ago?
At least that. It was a pad development process. So
right.
The individual pads would use it proposed on.
Mr. Kirchhoff put $1.5 million into redeveloping the intersection there. You know, he's made a financial commitment. This is one of the last pieces of the puzzle.
Okay. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Actually, just put your hands up. Mary Beth Mayo, Maloney, James, and Vice Chair, Deputy Chairwoman. All right. All those against? All right. Okay. The motion fails.
I just have one question for Legislator Archer. When the redevelopment of the Rondell Country Club comes through, are you going to vote the same way?
I don't see putting a resolution before this body, before the IDA has even taken a look at it or an opinion on it. And so from my perspective, we're directing now the IDA, which you've been saying to me for years, where that's not our job. So why are we directing it now?
You're not directing.
All right, guys. All right.
Okay.
Debate on this resolution is now over. So let's move forward with the rest of our agenda. We're okay. All right. Resolution 98, adopting and issuing a negative declaration under 6 New York RCRR Part 617 State Environmental Quality Review Act by the Olson County Legislature for the construction of a public safety training facility in the town of Ulster, Capital Project 483, Department of Planning. Mr. Doyle?
May I?
Are we
yes.
going to move it and second it for discussion?
No, but I have to make sure he gets to the table. But thank you,
Legislator Mayo, would you like to move it?
Second.
Okay, moved by Legislator Mayo, seconded by Legislator Archer. Dennis, please.
What this does is essentially the county has, in the design process for the fire training facility, actually public safety training facility, in the town of Ulster, has issued a negative declaration for that facility as a segmented process for the acquisition of an easement on the land, and for the sale and for the agreement with respect to a memorandum of agreement between the town of Ulster and the fire services and the Ulster County. We are at a point now in the final design process where we can issue a final determination with respect to the significance or the environmental impact associated with the construction of the facility, and that's what this resolution does. Rather late today, we filed a draft environmental impact determination with the clerk of the legislature staff for consideration. It runs through the requirements that you have to address as part of the SECR process: impact on land, impact on neighborhoods, impact on water quality. And it follows that process. It's not something that we haven't done before. We also filed a part two of the environmental assessment form, the long form for this project, which lays out those areas where we think that there are going to be significant environmental impacts, and there are none. And then finally, what we'll do if the legislature passes this, we'll finalize this environmental determination of significance, and we'll also file a part three with the involved agencies. Those involved agencies include the town of Ulster, the college, because part of our funding is SUNY Ulster, as well as the Department of Environmental Conservation, because we have to file a stormwater pollution prevention plan, and the Department of Health relative to the issues associated with approvals of septic systems and water supply. That's a very brief overview of a very complicated process that we're going through.
I think it could have been briefer. Anyway, that said, the resolution has been moved. It's been seconded. Are there any questions?
Yeah, I had a conversation with Dennis. It would have been great too, and he acknowledged it would have been great to have had some time. We're being asked to look at this, and we just now received at the 11th hour some of the paperwork, and I know that part of this is for cutting down trees, but still, it makes it really difficult for us to really get our arms around it. We're being asked to look at everything at the last minute, so if we can avoid that, that would be helpful in the future.
I completely agree with Legislator Archer.
I appreciate that.
The committee has my apologies. What I would say is that any legislature that wants to sit down and discuss where we are with respect to the this notice of determination, I'd be more than willing to do that. Go through the set of drawings that we're currently considering, as well as any of the other issues.
That's what we have attached here, though.
That's correct.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Great. Thank you.
At what point, though, did you actually have all of this, though, in terms of all the materials?
4 o'clock this afternoon.
Literally, part
Literally.
Two.
I was writing at 4 this afternoon.
And I know that because I called them.
Okay. All right. I'm feeling sympathetic. I'm leave Dennis alone. Is there any other questions for Mr. Doyle? All right.
So we have everything now. So if I review it and have questions prior to the vote, I can feel.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of drafts in there that you're not seeing, but you have the documents that are the basis for the determination.
That are in the resolution that we're being said were looked at and we concur with.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank
all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. All right. Resolution 112, is that correct? Approving the execution of contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county Weintraub Diaz Landscape Architecture PLLC Department of Planning. Actually, that's probably Mr. White now, isn't it? Or no? Oh, is it Dennis? Okay. Okay. Dennis. Oh, actually, at this point, I was corrected before. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Moved by Legislator Archer, seconded by Legislator DeLon. Mr. Doyle.
This is a project that comes out of the Ulster County Transportation Council. It's part of the Transportation Council's planning work program. The actual consulting fees are funded by the federal government to the tune of 100%. We provide staff time, and the cost of the county for the entire project is less than around 5%. The project literally is taking a look at that portion of the Walk Hill Valley Rail Trail in the village of New Paltz from effectively Bosey's down to Plains Road, and reimagining that section of the trail into a more urban-like trail rather than what is now, quite frankly, a path through the woods. This project was requested by the village and town of New Paltz and programmed by the Transportation Council. We have an advisory committee that was set up to choose the consultant associated with this that consisted of the mayor, members from the Walker Valley Land Trust, and also a representative from the Huguenot Society. We'll expand that advisory committee as we move into the design process. What we hope to do is set the community up at the end of this, to set the community up with a concept plans and planning level cost estimates so that they can go through an application process to seek funds for construction.
Okay. Any questions for Dennis? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
None.
Any abstentions? What?
Any opposed? None.
All right.
A letter voice.
So, Resolution 113, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to request that the New York State Department of Transportation abandon certain highway lands along U.S. Route 209 in the town of Warsing, Hamlet of Napanock, Department of Planning. Does somebody want to move that?
I'll move it.
Moved by Legislator Archer, seconded by Legislator Waldman.
DeLon. Seconded.
I know, but he had his hand up. They both did this whole thing, which apparently is now a thing where you just wave your pen and that's how you second now. I feel like I'm making in a auction. Dennis.
This is a rather simple resolution that essentially moves lands from under the maintenance and jurisdiction of NYSDOT back to the county and then to an abutting landowner. It has a number of moves associated with it, which is why it sounds complicated. The lands here are those associated with an area right around the White Wolf in the hamlet of Napanock and a little bit to the south of the White Wolf. The request, the way this works is back in the 1930s, the county acquired lands to build state highways. So there's an underlying ownership for the county for lands that are outside the state right-of-ways, the state usable right-of-way. The request came in from the landowner to the Department of Transportation, New York State Department of Transportation, as to whether these lands were needed for highway purposes, for the state highway purposes. The state has come back and said, as of now, they don't believe that there is a need for these lands outside of the state right-of-way for maintenance purposes. But in order to move further, they request that what ends up happening is the county has to request an abandonment of the maintenance jurisdiction of NYSDOT for those lands. Once that is abandoned back, once that material is received by NYSDOT, they will then approach the landowner to essentially give us a much more detailed right-of-way map associated with the lands that are being requested to be abandoned from maintenance jurisdiction. And NYSDOT will act on that abandonment process, so their release of maintenance and jurisdiction from NYSDOT for highway purposes. When that's done, what ends up happening is that under county highway law, there's a process of abandonment to abutting property owners. So we'll be back to the legislature, so assumingly that if this moves forward, we'll be back to the legislature, we'll have more detailed maps of what's going to be abandoned, and then we'll be asking the legislature to abandon those maps to the abutting property owner. In this case, it's a gentleman by the name of Tom Pinkerist that's made the request.
You mean abandoning properties, not abandoning maps?
I'm sorry, abandoning the...
But before we go any further, Dennis...
I apologize.
We don't even have, though, we're sort of being asked to acquiesce to this request without exactly knowing the exact amount of property that we're talking about here.
I could give you an estimate. I think there's an estimate in the.
Because I don't see anything in here that
okay.
really.
I can provide an estimate for that. But it's not a substantial amount of property. I don't know off the top of my head.
I was going to say, is this like a? I was going to say, is this a?
No, it's a little more than I think a quarter acre. But clearly it has no utility from a county use perspective.
Because it says request area, approximately 16,950, but now you're telling me that we don't exactly know the amount.
Well, until they go through the entire abandonment, until they do the more detailed right-of-way map. So it's an approximate data. It's an approximate at this particular point in time. It allows the state to essentially request the preparation of the additional right-of-way maps that are needed in more detail. So we'll have a meets and bounds description. We'll have a survey. All of those things will come back to us as part of that release of the maintenance jurisdiction.
But then you're basically asking us, in essence, for a blank check. Well, not a blank check, but in terms of that, we're authorizing that.
I mean, there is clearly a map that shows the area that's being proposed, and it's clearly outside of the state-needed right-of-way for highway purposes. And it clearly shows that the two parcels that are involved in terms of those, in terms of the areas that we're requesting release of maintenance jurisdiction. But until the state looks at this further, I can't give you any additional detailed information.
Hold on one second. Okay, Legislator Archer followed by Legislator Nolan.
So just for the purposes of clarity, that once you ask the state for this property to be abandoned and it comes back here, we have to accept the abandoned property, correct? Or the abandonment of the property.
The maintenance and release would automatically be granted to the county once the maps are filed.
So it'd be released, the land would be released to the county.
That's correct.
And then you would come to us and ask for it to be sold?
What ends up happening is there's an ability under county highway law to abandon property along county highways to an abutting property owner. So we can abandon it without sale. We can just abandon it and say it doesn't have a county purpose and you want it, it's yours. Or you can abandon it on a basis of an appraisal or value consideration.
Are there any other property owners abutting this?
No. Mr. Pinkeris owns both of the parcels involved at this particular point in time. So I can tell you that we did this in the past. This is common with respect to county right-of-ways. This abandonment process is common to have property owners request the property be abandoned to us. The most recent one that I'm familiar with is that the county had a bridge abutment associated with the Tuttletown Mill down in Gardner. And there was a request from the Tuttletown folks essentially to obtain that bridge abutment. The county did abandon that bridge abutment to that adjoining owner, that abutting owner, in a similar process. In that case, the state wasn't involved.
But either way, it'll have to come here once back. The state, and that's usually the process takes,
yep.
Usually what?
I wouldn't say. I wouldn't say.
Okay. Legislators Nolan, followed by Legislator Joe Maloney.
I think from the maps and the approximate description, it's clear that this property has no value to the county. So we feel very comfortable just moving through this step and getting the additional information. But it's hard for me to imagine how the county could benefit from this, and it clearly has a benefit to the property owner. So
let's let Joe Simone.
Is there any chance once we get it? Is there culverts, or is there any chance that we'd walk into a cost before we're even able to transfer it off? If the owner said before he took it, you know, are there culverts on there? Is there something that would potentially we could be fall in our lap with a cost before?
I do.
I have a constituent that is stuck in the middle. He has actually culverts that need work. And the state tells them the county's supposed to do it. The county tells them the state's supposed to do it. It sounds like a similar piece of land.
I am not aware of any culverts on this. Is in a cut.
Yeah.
There's not any culverts on it that I'm aware of. I am aware of the fact that there's a utility easement on it. There are utility lines that cross it. And as part of that, giving up that land, they would have to note those utility easements. And the state has pointed that out to us as well. When it comes back to us, there will be a utility easement on it.
But there'd be no cost.
The only question is there's administration costs, et cetera, but I don't see any carrying costs associated with this.
All right, Dennis, just make sure I just get the name. Who is the name of the...
It may be listed in a corporate name, I'm not sure, but the gentleman that we've been dealing with is Tom Pinkeris, as an owner. But I don't. If I have to ask you, if I have to say it's in a corp, I would suspect it's in a corporate name.
There's a business there.
That's
White Wolf is there now, and he's looking at some expansion work associated with that. And then on the property south of that, there's been a property that's been abandoned on that corner for a substantial point of time. There was a gas station there. It's been torn down.
You know, I meant to ask that.
Yeah.
Are we concerned that there's tanks buried there, and that before
not
it could be conveyed,
right
we'd have to worry about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Looking at that, he's looking at reactivating a business on that corner.
What, on this little triangle right here?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he has the ability now to connect the two parcels together. If we abandon them, he can then go through subdivision process and planning processes at the town level to connect the two together. And he also has some ability to do some expansion at the White Wolf, which he's talking about.
Yep. That name Tom Pinkers is familiar.
He owns the former bowling alley in the town of Worsing, or I think it may be actually in the village of Ellenville.
Yep. Well known.
He bought that as well, and he's in the asphalt business, I can tell you that.
I think he's in a lot of businesses, but we won't get into that. Anyway, on the resolution. All those in favor?
Yes.
Anybody opposed? Seeing none opposed? It passes. All right, resolution 114, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a grant agreement with the Catskill Watershed Corporation for the Ashokan Rail Trail Project, Department of Planning.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Legislator Jim Maloney and seconded by Legislator Mayo. Mr. White.
So this is money that we applied to the Catskill Watershed Corporation to lower the county's share of the Ashokan Rail Trail design costs. So this is literally for work we've already done, and we said, hey, your regulations added costs to our process under their grant program. We can go back for reimbursement on that. So we documented $26,200 in additional costs for complying with their SWIP, and they're going to reimburse us that. And we're in the process of now compiling some of the construction elements that might be due to their watershed regulations. And hopefully, once this passes, we'll come back with a second round where they give us some more money on construction. So it's okay. It just lowers our county share by a little bit.
Okay. Anything for Mr. White? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Seeing none opposed, the resolution passes. Resolution 115, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Lloyd for maintenance and repair of the Hudson Valley Rail Trail Phase 4, Department of Planning.
I'll move it.
Moved by Legislator Mayo, seconded by Legislator Jim Maloney. Mr. White.
So this is for the rail trail that we completed in November that's in the town of Lloyd, starting across from the Lowe's Home Center and then moving towards the walkway. We had made an agreement with the town years ago that if the county built this, then the town would take care of it. Because essentially they had plans at one point of developing this, and they had to truncate their project based on lack of funding and also resistance at that time from some of the property owners that we eventually were able to work through. So this agreement is a 20-year agreement to basically have them do all of the routine maintenance, and very frankly, they're already doing it. So we've already had trees that have had limbs down and they've been plowing it. This just formalizes that relationship. In the long run, if there are major capital items that exceed $20,000 and have a useful life of 10 years or more, then the town can come back to the county and say, we think this work needs to be done. If we agree to it, then we either split the cost, having the town do the work, or we can take the work on ourselves. Absent this agreement, we're responsible for all of that maintenance. So this is, to me, one of those really nice partnerships you can do with a locality where we did something they couldn't, you know, which cost us about $300,000, even though we came in $93,000 under the budget. Then we can have them do what they do really well, which is take care of it. And they do that already on the other parts of the town.
And the county owns the
county retains all ownership, and we have to do that under the DOT grant. So we're the ultimate guarantor, and we have reserved rights to go in and fix it if they're not doing it properly.
They charge backs for that?
One at a time. Mr. Waltman, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, there's not chargebacks for it. But, I mean, the thing is, if I see a town that's really maintaining a trail well, it's this town. They have a group that shows up at their meetings every month. And this passed, unanimously by their board, which has a Republican supervisor and a Democratic council. So I really don't see any issues moving forward. I was out there over the weekend. They had some guy picking up garbage already.
Legislator Joseph Maloney.
As we're working on other trails, I'm always under the impression that the upkeep is, for the most part, with the town or the city that we're putting it in. But it takes this agreement after we build it to ensure that?
No, it really depends on the particular trail. Like, in the case of what we just built, we own it, and we're required to do the maintenance on it for the useful life of the facility, which is 20 years. The town actually has no commitment other than its commitment to us previously to maintain it. The Ashokan Rail Trail, for instance, is in the towns of Hurley and Olive, and there's no requirement for them to maintain it. We're going to be maintaining it, hopefully with some volunteer forces as well. The Kingston Rail Trail, which is in the city of Kingston, the town of Ulster, and the town of Hurley, similarly, there's no requirement for them to do it. Some of the municipalities may want to take it on over the long haul just so they can have, maintain it to a better standard. But, I mean, there's no commitment by the town when you do a federal project. It's just in their town. It wasn't their
I was
project.
Under the impression that most of these towns were going to be pitching in more to the upkeep.
I don't know why you would have that impression.
Yeah.
I mean, this town wants to maintain this really well and plow it, and I'm not clear that we would plow it as regularly and as promptly as they do. If you go out there now, they have this plowed, and so it's in their interest to do it. We would make it available, certainly, if, like, the town of Hurley said, hey, we're already doing, plowing of our part of the ONW rail trail, and they wanted to take on that extra, I would certainly work with them to facilitate that. But it's not required.
On that note, so is there any other further questions for Mr. White with regards to this? On the resolution, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Mr. White. Resolutions
170. The linear.
Oh, I apologize.
The city is taking over the.
That's what I was just talking to you about the other day. Yeah, I was going to ask you after the meeting. So I knew the city of Kingston, I thought, was taking care of that.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me. They did make a similar commitment to the town.
Thank you, Legislator Mayo. Resolution 116, authorizing the Acting County, Ulster County Executive to execute a contract with the New York State Housing Trust Fund Corporation, represented by the Office of Community Renewal, for federal funding for the implementation of Community Development Block Grants, CDBG, amending the 2019 Ulster County Budget Department of Planning.
So moved.
Moved by legislators Jim Maloney and Mary Beth Mayo. Mr. Doyle?
This is a revenue contract from the state. It is a part of our award of $600,000 for housing rehabilitation. The subrecipient of this will be the Rural Ulster Preservation Company, RUPCO, and we'll be back to the legislature once we get through our environmental reviews. And necessary notifications should this contract move forward with a contract between the county and RUPCO for the implementation of the grant.
It would have been easier if you just let me just read through the resolution. We could just vote it on. Mm-hmm. So, that said, let's say Archer.
Did you happen to get the map for what we...
I will. I did not, but okay. I will update it
just for everybody. Yeah. I had asked for because this is just an aggregate, what projects have been done in the past, and I guess RUPCO gave us an update recently, which would be helpful. Thank you.
All right. Are there any other questions? Okay. On the resolution, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Seeing none opposed.
Resolution passes. Thank you, Dennis. Resolutions 117 and 118. Can we take them together?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded by legislators Jim Maloney and Lynn Archer. All right, all those in favor of blocking them together?
Aye.
Aye. All right, on the resolutions themselves, on 117 and 118. Oh, Mr.
We have all the necessary supporting documentation. They were...
I believe so.
And Ellenville and the town of Plattekill love these people, so if they love them...
You know, Mr. Maloney, I believe you and I had that discussion previously where I don't think our track record has been to even, I think, oppose even a single member. I think once, but I think it was very extreme circumstance. It was very crazy, but anyway, that said, though, I think in our history we have honored the town's request as to who they want to represent them on the Ulster County Planning Board. So again, I will ask on resolutions. So on resolutions 117, 118, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, seeing none opposed, those resolutions are passed. All right, on to new business. Eisner Amper.
We did
121st. Yep.
Just if I may add something to resolution number 122, I'm not trying to be argumentative, but that project does have an option that expires on March 5th.
Okay, thank you for that.
$1.2 million.
Thank you for that information, Mr. Maloney. So, that said, Eisner Ampner recommendation. Mr. White?
If I could announce that we're doing a public information meeting on the Midtown Linear Park at the new Restorative Justice Center on March 20th at 7 p.m. And we'll be sending that out to the legislature as well. But since you're our committee, I wanted you to know.
I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. So, as many of you are aware, Eisner Ampner was our consultant, and they reported back to the Ways and Means Committee. Ways and Means, then I guess, sort of, how should we say, then
did a readout
sent this,
of it.
Yeah, read out of it, but then also sent it to the. She said, "Did a readout."
We did a readout.
Yes. And then that committee then sent it to the appropriate committee insofar as that for the purposes of it actually establishing an IS policy, which this committee oversees IS. So, Legislator Archer, would you like to sort of walk us through a little bit of what transpired with Ways and Means, but also where we're at with this?
Yeah, we did the whole readout. I think at the end of the day, what was decided is that we had an old policy. IT had been working on a draft of a new policy, and in the assessment part of the review, they identified what the draft policy risk or observations of things that were missing from the draft policy. And so what was discussed in Ways and Means was referring it to economic development to work with IT to take it from a draft policy and implement a policy with some additional components. For example, one of the components was an authorization matrix. So who owns the data, who owns the server, who's authorizing whom to access it, and do it by department. And so that there would be some specific, and this highlights the specific. I won't, you know, go through all of it, but you know, the risk in red is ensuring we have an email retention policy, ensuring we have a policy for the disposition of hardware, and if we're reusing it, how do you get the equipment prepared to be, you know, wiped clean to be able to refer it and reuse? What's our mobile device? What it boils down to is we had a policy that was in place from 1999, and we really had technology had moved and changed. Part of why Jose's even here is we really needed to do an upgrade in technology. And there's a lot of technology that we use today that we don't have policies for. And I think everybody's aware of this, and so the intent is to work with IT to finalize the policy. And I just will put out there that since Eisner has done a lot of the work already in identifying where the gaps in our current policy is, that it may be worthwhile to chat with them to find out what it would take to help facilitate finalizing an overall policy for the county.
Okay.
So no, I put that on the table for consideration.
And that may be something that this committee sort of just takes up as during the course of our work this year. Joe,
but we need a policy.
No, I know. Joe, have you been read in on this document? Or
Yes, he was at the meeting.
I know, so sorry. I'm just establishing because we have the tape on.
Well, I wasn't at the initial meeting. I was briefed on it.
But you were briefed on it, at least. Okay, very good. Okay, based off of sort of what came out of this, I mean, there is a certain, oldness to the current guiding policy, and so you know that is of course part of our purview is establishing policy, and I also know that part of it I think also comes back down to, I mean, at a certain point, authority in certain cases where one of the problems that sort of came out was approvals were sort of being given by previous employees of IS to different agencies, different departments, and sort of became a whole thing of who had what authorization became somewhat unclear, and I think it became a sort of a thing where we were discovering as we were kind of going along who had authorizations. So, I mean, have you been able to kind of take a look at what sort of these highlights are, and do you concur with them?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think the information, the recommendations provided by Eisner they're valid.
Yeah.
I will note that in the draft IT security policy that we worked on mid last year, of the seven areas that they included, I mean, we do have the policy procedures in place. They were not part of the draft, but easy enough, based on the recommendation, we can incorporate those into the draft because we do have the procedures already in place that we do. I'll give you an example, like hardware disposition. What we do when we receive, we recover either desktops, laptops, anything that's capable of storing data, has memory, what we do with that device when it's returned to information services. Two-person integrity on it, the destruction of it, we degauss it, we destroy it, using devices that are NSA certified, and then we recycle it, e-waste, Ulster County Resource Recovery. So those procedures are in place, for example, within IS, but easily we could transfer that to the IT security policy. That being one example, the mobile device management, that's another one where we have procedures in place. We didn't include it in the overall draft IT security policy. We can do that. And then just the social engineering awareness. So last year we did start a cyber awareness training, which is part of the annual training for the county employees. So that's included in that. And actually in the draft IT policy, it does list a requirement for county employees to receive annual training. It just doesn't drill down on what that training consists of, whether it be phishing, spear phishing, social engineering, what have you. But it is part of the overall training plan.
You said you've actually got a draft policy, though?
I'm sorry?
You said you actually have a draft policy?
We do have a draft policy.
Yeah, that's what they reviewed.
Yeah, the policy that...
I'm saying, but that the department had something specific. I'm sorry.
This draft policy went to Eisner, Abner, and all of their recommendations
is based on that.
It is not in the draft policy. So this was something that when Joe started working with the county, he began working on because realizing that the 1999 policy was outdated. And then basically everything that went on last summer halted that because we weren't going to put together a draft policy, send it to you in the middle of everything else that was going on.
We knew there would be recommendations.
Right, and these are based on the draft policy that you had submitted to Eisner Ampner, which offset what was already in place from 1999.
Right, of the seven areas that they identified for improvement, not necessarily just improvement, but to be included.
There's specific.
Right? So, like,
and you're saying some of it you had separate.
Some of it we had separate. Right.
Right.
Incorporated.
So it's not exactly what you produced. Right. I think that the big thing is also the matrix, the authorization matrix. We have multiple elected officials in various departments, and we, you know, just from they're all duly elected. Everybody has the, you know, authority about who has access to what system, and I think it's really important that we put that matrix in place so that should somebody be looking for access or something has to be accessed, there's an approval process in place as to authorizing IT to go into someone's private server.
Exactly. So we did have that in the draft IT security policy. It's essentially assigning ownership to the department.
Right.
So you know, the department.
So that's work to be done, right?
So the department would identify who that person within the department is the owner, and so they are the ones that would, if we didn't grant them the permissions to apply lower level permissions on their own, then we would have, they would be the ones designated.
Right.
And then we would do it. So it just depends on what their level of expertise is within their department to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is covered under the draft IT security policy to assign somebody ownership within that department.
And so, create a matrix as to...
We didn't have create a matrix, but that's a recommendation, and we certainly can incorporate that.
Right.
I mean, like I said, it's of the information they provided, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and disagree with them. I mean, there's some things that I would maybe do differently or would recommend do differently, but I mean, overall, I think the recommendations are certainly, you know, within industry standards and something that we can incorporate as a kind of take the recommendation. And obviously, you know, what we'd like to do is take that draft policy and then, again, get that staff through the departments, get their input before it actually makes its way to the legislature, so the, you know, legislature can then have the final stamp on it.
Let's say, Nolan, you had something you wanted to add?
Yeah, just, I agree. I think that the documenting these procedures that we have is very helpful. And I think that, in fact, the incident that occurred was in regard to a established procedure that was not documented, that being the ownership. So I think that taking all of that and rolling that into this would be excellent. And I would just also say that New York State Comptroller has reviewed the IS department and has audits on the security, and has the department has always done well and then responded well to that. But in none of those audits was there a request that these things be put into a policy that they were reviewing. So I think all of us are coming into the 21st century on IS and how to do the security and then how to document that we're doing the security. So really think there's good work to be done here based on these suggestions and what's already being done.
Right. Is this?
Jeff?
This doesn't really have to do with this, but as we're talking about access, I can't tell you how many times we have another budget analyst coming in at some point soon, and how many times I've talked to Amber, I think you have as well, and this may be something for a conversation in Ways and Means, but there's a lot of things that we as legislators and our budget analyst has to wait on, you know, typical information from finance, where I think we have to kind of take a look at the charter and have an overall conversation when it comes to budget and personnel. When we're trying to run reports, we shouldn't constantly be waiting for information that I think, you know, low-level employees in finance, you know, typical, it's numbers. You know, it's not anything there that's real sensitive. I don't know why our budget analyst, I'm always hearing, oh, I have to go request that. I have to go request that information. We should be, some of these reports, we shouldn't have to be bothering. I'd like to hear what Lynn thinks about that.
Let's say to Archer.
I agree, and this could be a question with regards to as we go through access. If some people have certain access, do you require
a sign off around confidentiality, or, you know, and if some of that has to be put in place so that we can ensure that people have the appropriate access with which to do analysis and work as a check and balance, that we have the ability to do that. It's an ongoing conversation. It's an ongoing. It's an ongoing conversation. It's an ongoing conversation. But again, I guess that goes hand in hand with the process about access and who has access to what information and through what systems, because you use multiple systems, correct?
Right.
You're
yeah. I mean, hundreds.
Yeah. Right.
I just underscore Legislator Archer's comment about confidentiality and access. One of the reasons you don't generally, or organizations don't make broad access is to preserve confidentiality, and when you have employee records that have much identifying information and sensitive information like healthcare, we have to be extremely cautious about opening up permissions. And I think that what we have in place, we should document, and then if we want to make changes, then we have to look at each one of those changes as to the benefit and the hazard of giving broader access. Corporations, municipalities, nonprofits all struggle with this, but the general rule is to restrict access on individual information. And that's the reason that CPAs in general usually get aggregate information, final documents. They don't come into offices and go through individual records. So I think we need to be very cautious as we set this up that we're respecting all the legal obligations we have to our employees, to people who might submit information to the legislature, to various branches of the government. It's a big deal to open things up.
Legislator Archer.
I absolutely agree. Coming and being in HR for 20-odd years, I'm well aware of that, but we also have public information. Salaries are public information around here. So nobody's asking for HIPAA or anything that would create a confidentiality from an employee perspective. I think it's understanding the capacity of what a system is going to allow someone to have access to. I would agree with you if, in fact, a lot of the information that I had been asking for and the analysis to be run would have been done out of the personnel department here, but it's done out of finance anyway. So I just think, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I also am sensitive. Nobody's looking to do anything that would compromise anything, but as a government entity, a lot of the stuff that is public access here. So I'm not asking for anything that I don't believe people would be able to foil and get a request.
Exactly.
If it's for foilable, the information. If Amber it's foilable, should why shouldn't yeah, I mean, people I'm be able to get
it? So that
I hear what you're saying, but I'm well aware, and I think that's something we continue. We have to continue to look at and explore with each other on how we can be able to run the reports that we're looking to run.
That's all the ones. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Mark. If I could just state that I know Amber, at least when it comes to the financial system, has broad read-only access. Some of the issues may be that it's a vast system and that you have to know that you click on reports and there's a drop-down box of 10 different options, and then you click on that and it's another drop-down box of 10, you know, options. So the reports that you want to run to get the information you want may be more complex than, you know, I got myself in trouble 2 years ago when I suggested ACE do some training. But if there's reports that she has that she wants on Logos and feels that she doesn't have access to, but we look and she has access, it may just be someone showing her.
No, there's specific reports we've asked for, and there it's an ongoing issue.
Payroll,
so
or
yes,
on Logos.
It's about it's around employee salary history. And it's not anything to do with anybody's taking leaves. It is just someone's salary history progression by person, not by job. And that's a different request, and it's one that's not been fulfilled. So and but they'll give it to me for everything else. They'll give it to me for job, etc. But it's not relevant because people could move in and out of the job. If you're doing an equity analysis, you need to be able to do it based on the individual's progression over the last 5 years, and that's what we've asked for. So I get what you're saying.
What's that, Nolan?
On this specific request, which I've heard described by Legislator Archer and I've heard described by members of the executive's office, to do a salary progression as you describe sounds to me to be a function of the personnel department. And personnel department are hired for that reason.
And I've asked for that, Kathy, since November 26.
The personnel department, which is my point. This kind of analysis is done by members of the personnel department, and I think we could get...
They're not, though. It's not. Okay. I've asked them.
Do I have the floor?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, my belief is that this kind of report can be done, and for a specific problematic instance, we could ask personnel to do it. Opening it up so that a legislator can go do it is, in my view, a different matter. And we have somebody who happens to be a legislator who has a skill set on this, but all the other legislators would have access to it once one legislator has access to it. And I think that there are things on those individual records, such as gender, which in Ulster County is recorded as male, female, and other, mm-hmm. that is maybe something that people don't want. And there are reasons sometimes why something is hard. If you have a particular concern and you want to go foil it and go through step by step, then we can, as you say, do that. But when you open it up so that that's in a printout by name, it becomes liable to be used in other ways that are not always to the benefit of the county, that serve any legitimate purpose we have in governance. And I worry about the privacy of those people in that full-on print it all out there and make it easy for the world to look at. The benefit that we would have from that, I think, has to be justified against the harms that we might inadvertently do to individuals who are employees and public servants here. So I would say, where is the rub? What is the problem that we think we have that we cannot identify by looking at job descriptions and following those through, or looking at 1, 2, 3, 5, or 10, whatever the number is, individual cases? I'm open to hearing why we have this problem and why we're going to generate this potentially harmful document. We just haven't had the discussion at that level.
Okay, and again, we're a little bit off in terms of the overall IT policy, but let's say Archer.
I'm not responding.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. Okay.
I'd just like to say one quick thing that maybe this is where, what does it hurt having a conversation? We could even go into executive session, even though I don't think we'd be talking about anything that would end up being needed for, but if it made everyone comfortable. But I feel like this is something going forward in the county, we should sit down and have examples, hear from people on both sides, and then, you know, incorporate that into the policy and maybe get a little more access in places that are appropriate and everybody's comfortable with. Most of the access I'm talking about comes down to numbers. It'd be foilable financial information that I don't feel like levels of bureaucracy. We should have all these firewalls that Amber and the new budget analysts have to go through to get us simple information so we can make educated
votes. And put it into aggregate.
Yeah,
let's have the
conversation.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Maybe that's something for Ways and Means and New Business. I'll mention it, and we come up with a subcommittee meeting. And if at times we have to go into executive session to keep people comfortable, I'm down with that.
Okay. All right. So before we leave, I want to make sure, though, in terms of next steps, number one, you now all have a copy of this if you didn't have it before. Number two, we discussed, I guess, the idea of potentially actually having either Eisner Ampner or somebody else or whoever at that point basically maybe help to assist us in the actual fine-tuning and drafting of an IT policy, right? That's one of the sort of recommendations or suggestions coming from Ways and Means.
Well, what Eisner Ampner said is there is a good draft policy that Jose and his team have put together with these missing pieces, and these missing pieces may require, you know, some work to fine-tune and ensure and integrate into the overall policy. But we need to get something in place.
Okay.
We don't have anything in place today with teeth to address some of the issues that came out of the investigation.
Okay. Let's hear Nolan.
Sorry, I meant to say this in my earlier comments. These are very straightforward recommendations. I would propose that we have IS make these changes unless they have a request for additional assistance. And then if we, I'm not too eager to spend more money on this because this is out there on the internet, basically, level of analysis here. So I would prefer that our IS department codify and get the document to that they're happy with, and then that we review it.
Well,
if we feel like we need to hire a consultant at that point. But
well, I definitely actually need the actual hard copy of the of the draft policy. I do not have it, so Joe, you're going to get it to us, right? If we don't have it already,
do you want to with these gaps added into it though? That's the
you know,
I mean, right now, I mean, like it's an email. So if you want to send me what you got yeah, right now,
well, it's 120 odd pages,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 120 pages, and the legislature has the document.
Okay, well then sending me an email shouldn't be too hard, though, right? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Can I?
Okay.
If in fact we're going to take that approach, could I ask that you take the original draft that we all have, and then and give us a marked up copy of the changes you're making, so that we're getting a red line, so we see where you're editing, what's happening, and I mean, if we can work from that and have some conversation about it, I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, and if we still feel like we need to actually engage Eisner Ampner, then you know that's something for our committee will then prepare a resolution to that effect.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right, fantastic. Thank you. I appreciate it. Is there anything else on this subject before we adjourn? Okay. Under new business, is there anything else that has to come before this committee? Okay. On that note, I'll entertain the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded by Lester Maloney. Thank you all.
Joe.
I said Maloney. The other Maloney's out of the room. Now you're just the old.